Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking the majestic Buckhead skyline, where the skies are dark and ominous, reminiscent of what's ahead for the United States of America unless we make some dramatic changes in what we are doing, not just domestically, but in the international arena as well. I'm going to bring on my brother, Richard. How are you today?
I'm fine, Jack. How are you?
Good. You know, I wrote a blog piece today that has gotten quite a bit of attention, and it's a subject about which I want us to talk. So if you'll indulge me for a couple of minutes, Dick, I'm going to go ahead and read this, and then we will talk about it at length. And the title of this blog, which is on my We Believe blog site, which you can Google, is "The Failure of Obama's Progressive Worldview." From the moment Nadal Malik Hassan, a former United States Army psychiatrist, fatally shot 13 and injured more than 30 others in the Fort Hood mass shooting on November 5th, 2009, just a few days, just less than a year into Obama's presidency, I knew we would be in serious trouble with Barack Obama as commander-in-chief. His militant refusal to call this a terrorist attack, which it definitely was, made it crystal clear Obama and his progressive cohorts were unable to call a spade a spade. Their flawed worldview would not permit it. So they engaged in revisionist history to rename it workforce violence, which it has remained ever since. The problem with this is that it isn't true, as anybody with an ounce of sense recognizes, which disqualifies his fawning press, who act as codependent enablers to this twisted worldview. Another example of this is Obama's assertion that Islam has always played a key role in American history, which it certainly is not, but the press lets his revisionism slide. It's their fallback position. The problem goes far deeper than this, however. It now threatens our survival as a nation. At his core, Obama is a progressive more than he is a Muslim. It's a non-theistic worldview, but it's not necessarily atheistic. To a progressive, God simply isn't important, as we saw when the Democrats booed his name being included in the Democratic National platform several times during the last national convention. Government is what is important to progressives, not God's will. True to his progressive principles, Obama has governed accordingly for 6 years. An essential component of progressivism is that America has been on the wrong side of history since our inception, and the Judeo-Christian worldview is wrong, archaic, and intellectually indefensible. Those who champion American exceptionalism are worthy of being mocked, and that's precisely what progressives do, including the press. In the progressive repudiation of our historical roots, repeatedly championed Islam as a religion of peace. As president, basing his policies on his progressive beliefs, Obama has championed the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, the rebels over Gaddafi in Libya, Hamas over Israel, and the swap of the Taliban Five for Bergdahl, the American deserter. Each of his ideological positions, all based on progressive ideology, have failed. None of them have furthered American interests. Rather than admit his errors, Obama has doubled down on his ideological convictions. The folly of Obama's ways was broadcasted worldwide on YouTube with the beheading of James Foley on August 20th. This blatant in-your-face attack on an American citizen graphically revealed the failure of Obama's tepid leadership and his flawed worldview. Even worse, it reveals the progressive worldview where terrorism has repeatedly been redefined is incapable of facing evil head on. Progressives don't believe in evil, while those who are evil are willing to die for their cause, just as long as it eventually brings about our destruction, Israel's too. You might ask, do we have anything that's strong enough to withstand this evil assault upon our nation? The answer is simple and obvious. Of course we do. We have the Judeo-Christian heritage that has always recognized evil for what it is and stood up to it effectively, including World War II. Pursuing my PhD in international politics at Emory in the late 70s, the prevailing belief of my professors, all progressives, was that America was in irreversible decline. With Jimmy Carter as president, my heart sank, believing this was true. Then Ronald Reagan, like the rise of the Phoenix, came out of the West and ushered in a generation of American strength and prosperity. Now, with Obama at the helm, we are being told the same thing. America's days are dwindling, which even evangelicals accept as the fulfillment of their premillennial worldview, but it isn't necessarily so. In fact, it shouldn't be so. Regardless of what the future holds, we must stand up to the evil of Islam and confront their jihadism head on. To do this, we need a leader who embraces the historical foundations of our Judeo-Christian heritage and not one who repudiates it in favor of the wishful thinking of progressivism. Not much is at stake, just our survival. It took me a while to write that this morning, as you can imagine, Richard, but I wanted to just put it on the record out there, not just in print, but also read it, speak it into truth, so to speak. But what do you think?
Well, I think Daisy definitely got yourself from the IRS watch list, that's for sure.
Other if I'm not on their watch list by now, I would say that their competency is really in question. You know, they might be able to find their emails and stuff like that, but boy, if you're critical of Obama, they'll find you fast. They're very good at that, aren't they?
Yeah. They may be watching their own butts right now, though. So maybe they're not watching you so much.
Well,
Jack, this is
something
that's been...
Say that again.
No, I was just going to say that this has been Obama from the very beginning. You know, you know, he sold this country a bill of goods that he has never delivered on. What has he done that he said that, let's see, the most transparent government ever? And so far, as far as I'm concerned, it's probably the least transparent.
Definitely. They'd rather lie when the truth would serve them better.
Yeah. I don't know. But we're into six plus years, and I still find it hard to believe that there is a lot of people out there that believe that he's done a good job. I say to them, okay, just tell me where. What has he done that you consider a good job? And they look at you like you have three heads. Because for the most part, they can't think of anything.
Well, they'll always say that he killed Osama bin Laden, and you know, and that's fine, and I get that. Here's the trouble. with the progressives, they believe government's the answer to everything, and taxation is the answer. So they want government control because government knows best, and we aren't capable of running our own lives without government help. Now, the part that's the worst is that they think that government is, and people are good by nature, and if they're given good government, they'll just be nice. So Obama, thinking that everybody would think he is wonderful, you know, went around the world, you know, bowing to people and apologizing for America. And where's that gotten us? He's not respected. Now, Bush wasn't respected either. Obama's not respected, neither was Bush. Obama's
second
not
Bush.
Feared. George Bush was feared. I don't care if they respect us. I just want them to fear us, and they don't fear Obama. And the reason they don't fear him is because of this whole belief system that, you know, Islam is a religion of peace. They're good people. They're, you know, just a little misguided. So we'll arm them at our expense while they want to disarm us in the United States also at our expense. It just is everything turned upside down. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. And it's a very serious situation. Now, if you remember, the plan was for Obama to come back off of vacation. I think the 27th of August.
August.
Claim, yeah, just a few days ago.
Yeah.
Or it could have been the 17th or 20th, just, you know, mid to late August. And his purpose was to have an executive order that would give up to 15 million amnesty. Now, he's putting that off till after the November elections. And he's doing so because so many Democrats who are in vulnerable states, like Hagan in North Carolina, Landrieu in Louisiana, Pryor in Arkansas, Shaheen in New Hampshire, and the open seat in Iowa, Montana, and Udall in Colorado, it would be the death knell of every single one of the Democrats running. So they now, in their calculated attempt to maneuver around Congress and the Constitution to do something that isn't in the American people's best interests, they're waiting to try and keep hold of the Senate. And that's all that Obama cares about. It's not going to happen anyway. But that's what he wants, and that's what he thinks is going to happen. I mean, it's just amazing to me. Every single thing that this guy does is calculated not for what's best for the people, but to keep power. It's always interesting.
Politics. It's all politics.
Well, it isn't to everybody, and it isn't all the time.
No, but I'm to him. It's politics.
Oh, yeah.
To the American people be damned. We need to continue having big government, and that is only done by having the Democrats in power. But there, it just is beyond me. The amount of scandals that have been going on. I was just watching something when they said, well, Obamacare may not be as big a an issue at the, you know, at these midterm elections. I said, well, it is, because in the next couple of weeks, people are going to start realizing what they're going to be paying into Obamacare and what their deductions, I mean, what their deductibles are going to be, that it's going to be astronomical. But it's overshadowed by all of these IRS, VA scandals, and all of these different scandals that keep popping up. It's just incredible.
The Bergdahl and the Caliban 5, that's kind of slid out of anybody's thoughts because it's, you know, the $6 billion missing from the State Department when Hillary was Secretary of State, that's, nobody speaks about that anymore. That's just kind of gone by the wayside. For the most part, you know, some of the, you know, the things in Fast and Furious have, although there's a judge that has told the Justice Department that they have to produce some things that they didn't want to about that, and they have to do it by the end of September. So, you know, that's kind of coming. The stuff about Benghazi, you know, just ground right now. The IRS is the only one that's, and even the VA stuff is just kind of in the background. Now, I think you're right. I think that when people start seeing that the difference between what they were paying and what they will be paying is a car payment each month.
Yeah.
A car payment.
Absolutely.
And a nice car. For $500 a month, you can lease.
And a nice Mercedes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can lease a BMW.
Absolutely.
And people are going to absolutely freak out about that. Now, my guess is, excuse me, that Obama and his cohorts are going to find a way to try and not show the people the price tag until after the election.
Now, well, I'm not sure they can do that, because it's the insurance companies that are going to be dictating where that is going to be, unless they get, you know, a unilateral stay of execution.
Obama will do anything to keep the Senate with Harry Reid as leader, because Harry Reid protects Obama better than the Secret Service.
His puppet. He's
yes,
got him on a string.
Absolutely.
We should just start calling him Howdy Doody, because that's pretty much who he is. Or Flubbadub. That's even a better one. He was a puppet too. Flubbadub.
Actually, when you were saying that, and I thought about it, what he really does is he looks a whole lot like Phineas T. Bluster.
Oh, yeah. And
Mr. Bluster.
Yeah.
Just this crusty old man. Oh, that brings back some old memories. Absolutely. All right, now, we talked a little bit, you and I, offline, about the bill that was before the Senate treaty to from the UN resolution to have all member nations of the UN disarm their people by confiscating guns. And this was just kind of slipped into the Senate. The House of Representatives has nothing to do with treaties, just the Senate. And the vote to, there were 43 members of the Senate who voted to take away the Second Amendment right of Americans to bear arms. Now, this is a big deal. Now, as you know, there are 55 Democrats, only 43 voted for it. Some of those who are in states where that vote would end up costing them their job didn't vote for it, but you know they wanted it. Now, there are some who voted for it.
Well, yeah, Jack, of that, 43 that voted to take away the Second Amendment,
Yes.
How many of that 43 were Republicans?
None.
Zero. Nada. Not a single one.
Zip.
They were all Democrats.
Yes.
My two duties up here in Massachusetts, they both voted to disarm us. Elizabeth Shaheen, Pocahontas.
Shaheen in New Hampshire voted for it, too. And the people of New Hampshire need to know that she voted to take away all of your guns.
Their gun.
And allow the authority of the United Nations to supersede that of the United States of America. What the kind of hell is going on with that? People need to know, in New Hampshire, Shaheen is for that. Scott Brown would not. Absolutely wouldn't do it. They need to vote for Scott Brown. He needs to be the next senator from New Hampshire, period. And if you think that it's a big deal in New Hampshire, Dick,
you
can't even imagine what it is in Louisiana, where Mary Landrieu voted for the UN authority to supersede that of the Cajuns in Louisiana and take away their guns. I mean to tell you, there'd be civil war in the swamps before that would happen. But she voted for it. They're
trying it away from their dead hand. That's how.
Yes.
They
need to get rid of Mary Landrieu. Now, we've got a little twit down here. Sam Nunn's daughter, Michelle, I mean, she doesn't know anything. The only qualification that she has for senator is that she's the daughter of a former senator, so she has name recognition. That's it. Her dad was a Democrat back in the day when there were some conservative Democrats. Now there are none. There are no conservative Democrats. If there are, where are they? 43.
I call them Republicans.
Voted
no.
to take away the Second Amendment rights of Americans. Now, that ain't going to happen, period. But that there are a vote like that, you would expect four or five senators to vote for it because they don't have sense that they're born with. But that 43 did so.
Did Harry Reid vote for it?
Say that again?
Did Harry Reid vote for it?
He did.
Take away arms. He did. In Nevada.
And
he's from Nevada, right?
And he's from Nevada, and he has received support from the National Rifle Association forever. Guess what? That's over for him now.
Rescinded.
Oh, yeah. This will be, this is a vote that the NRA will score. And that means that anybody who voted for this will not only not receive any money, but they will tell people what they've done so that they will vote for someone else because taking away the rights of American citizens to own guns is something that is, it's an inalienable right. If it's inalienable, that means it can't be taken away from you. And yet they want to take it away from you. They voted against the Constitution, and they voted for an international authority, the U-dadgum in to have authority over Americans. What kind of hubris is this? Complete nonsense. Now, you know, there are some places where they Nelson Rockefeller voted for it in West Virginia, tiring, and the Republican who's running against the Democrat is ahead by something like 27%. And the reason for that in West Virginia is because of Obama's coal policy and also the stuff about the guns, but mostly the coal policy. They've destroyed that state's economy, and, you know, Rockefeller, what is it, what's his first name? It's not Nelson, it's, can't remember, slip my mind. But he's one of the big-time liberals, big-time. And his presence will be gone. So the Republicans are going to take the Senate, and here's how. One, they're going to pick up West Virginia. They're going to pick up North Carolina. We're going to keep Kentucky and Georgia. We're going to pick up Louisiana, Arkansas, Iowa, Montana, maybe Colorado. And one more. New Hampshire,
South Dakota.
South Dakota, maybe New Hampshire.
Maybe
Alaska. It's going to be 52-48 Republicans, and that will cook Obama's goose. But Scott Brown, you know, is only behind by 2 points, and he's a great campaigner. He's a tremendous candidate. He was an excellent senator, and he needs to be returned to the Senate and let Shaheen go into the private sector where she has to figure out how to pay for her Obamacare that she voted in. I like that. These people are going to have to learn how to pay for their Obamacare that they voted in. And there are a bunch of them, and that needs to happen. By the way, I think also Alaska is going to end up becoming Republican, getting rid of that Democrat that's there. And, you know, I think it's possible that there's going to be a pickup of 8 or 9, maybe even 10 seats. I mean, this is going to be a devastating loss for Obama, which it needs to be. And the progressive worldview, people need to start thinking about that and saying, okay, this is what's wrong with America, is that the progressives do not have the ability to stand up to evil. What does our Judeo-Christian worldview? It has held the Muslims in check since 7-11.
Jack, you notice that the Prime Minister of England has put forth a very well-executed plan of what England's going to do, and we sit back and watch Obama play golf.
Well, you know, the thing is that, you know, Obama, because of his belief system, he just doesn't know what to do. He never thought this would happen. This was not anything that he could even conceptualize. And, you know, that isn't going to work for him. At any rate, we're out of time, and we're going to be back at this again next week. And thank you, Richard. I'm glad you've had a nice Labor Day, and let me just say God bless you and God bless the United States of America. We'll talk to everybody again next week. Bye-bye now.